Welcome to Little Man Big Mouth Podcast with me, Jonah. I'm a kid who loves sports. I can talk about sports every day, all day. Think you can handle that? Then stick around for today's show. Our guest today is Coach Dave Wannstedt, former college and NFL head coach, as well as a television football analyst. But first, let's get into some MLB talk. Baseball is back, baby. Spring training is here, and let's talk about who are the contenders for this year and who are going to disappoint. Well, I think the Atlanta Braves are one big contender for this year's World Series trophy. Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to have another MVP season. He's going to have a 40-40 season, meaning he will have over 40 home runs and over 40 stolen bases. The Braves also added to their pitching staff, adding former Boston Red Sox Chris Sale. The dominant rotation also includes Max Fried, Spencer Strider, and Charlie Morton. This team should have went to the World Series last year, but they are going to go this year. One team that could challenge them is the LA Dodgers. This LA Dodgers team is going to be one of the dominant teams this year. They have formed what is called a super team. They just grabbed some huge players in the offseason. The Dodgers obtained one of the best players in baseball right now, Shohei Ohtani, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Both of these players will help the Dodgers try and get to the World Series this year. First, let's talk about Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani is the best two-way player. Even though he cannot pitch this season, he can still hit nukes and will be a dominant force on offense. With Ohtani in the lineup, the Dodgers lineup could look like Mookie Betts leadoff, Freddie Freeman in the second spot, Shohei Ohtani in the third spot, and Max Muncy or Teoscar Hernandez at the fourth spot. This is going to be a super team who nobody wants to play. The rotation is also going to help them try and make the World Series. Having Yamamoto, their rotation is looking like Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, and Walker Buehler. I would not be surprised if these two meet in the NLCS. Now, let's talk about one team that is going to be disappointing this year. Look, the Red Sox come to mind immediately. I am a big Red Sox fan, but I am not happy with what my team did in the offseason. It seemed like the Red Sox slept through the whole offseason. The Sox traded away a great pitcher in Chris Sale, and then just sat back and watched as Justin Turner went to the Blue Jays and Alex Verdugo went to the Yankees, the rival. One sign that we did do is to get Tyler O'Neill, but that will not help when we will have to face the Yankees, who have Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Alex Verdugo, as well as Garrett Cole pitching and Marcus Stroman. This is not going to be a great season, because now the Red Sox in the AL East division have to play against Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, as I already mentioned, and the Orioles, who were dominant last season. This is going to be a rough season for Red Sox fans. Now it is time for my interview with Coach Wannstedt. My guest today is Coach Dave Wannstedt, former college and NFL coach, as well as a television football analyst. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jonah. Absolutely. Just, kind of a little bit of a dead time right here in the football world, which is what I do. Since the Super Bowl's been over, and now it's on to the draft. So we got a little bit of a week or two here before all the combines and the workouts start. But it's a 12-month-a-year deal now. It used to be just kind of the season, and we take 3 or 4 months off, but not anymore.
Right. Thank you so much for joining me today. Many people know you for your time as a head coach for the Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, and even the Dallas Cowboys and the University of Pittsburgh Panthers. So how did you get started as a coach?
Well, I tell you what, when I finished coaching, like 2012, 2013, I was doing some work for the NFL, and they wanted me to go around, and they were sending the two youngest coaches on every NFL from every NFL staff, and they would send them, and there would be a big two-day convention. And they had somebody there from scouting, somebody there, a general manager, and I was kind of representing the head coaches. And the first question that I would ask, to answer your question, I would say to these young coaches, why do you want to get into coaching? And surprisingly, probably 90% of them said, because a coach along the lines said something or did something, but made a difference in my life. And as I look back on it, you know, I came from a steel town in Pittsburgh. My dad worked in the steel mills. And, you know, football was a way out. Sports was a way out. It was either go play sports or go work in the mills. And I remember when I was like in ninth grade, the football coaches at my high school called me in and basically said, you got to straighten up. You got to get into these college prep courses. This is what you need to do. And that's really stuck with me. And that was the reason. You don't get into coaching, you know, particularly back in the day or even now, you don't get into coaching because you say you're going to be a head coach and you're going to make millions of dollars. Very few guys do that. Money can't be a factor. Moving can't be a factor. And because that's going to happen. Guys get fired now more than they did back in the day. You know, so, I mean, I was very blessed. I mean, I left the Cowboys after the Super Bowl and went to the Bears. But I was at the Bears 6 years, the Dolphins 6 years, and at University of Pittsburgh, my alma mater, 6 years. So I had long runs at all the places that I was a head coach, and that I was very fortunate that way.
So in today's day and age, we're seeing a lot of former players get into the coaching job, getting into the coaching industry. So what was the transition like for you as you became a player into a coach?
Well, you got to be willing to start, I think, at the ground level. And, you know, it's I think it's like any other business, Jonah. You want to, you know, we started off just watching tape and breaking tape down, really not even coaching. The varsity coaches might let you help them a little bit, but you weren't running any meetings and you weren't responsible for putting in a game plan. You were doing, you know, kind of the grunt work, but doing that type of work really gave you the foundation for the next step of being a position coach and then the next step of being a coordinator and then possibly becoming a head coach.
Well, like you said before, you left the Cowboys after the Super Bowl. How did it make you feel that your defense as the defense corner forced 9 turnovers in the big game?
Yeah, we went into that year. We did not have a Pro Bowl player from the previous year. And to end up number one in the NFL in total defense, it's a parallel there with football is. And that is, it's a team sport. You know, it's not about one guy playing great and you're going to have a great defense. You got to have 11 guys being in the right spot, giving the same type of effort, keeping the same mentality, not for one game, but for the entire season and for the playoffs. And that's, we had that at Dallas. I had a great group of guys, and it was because of the talent. Yes, you got to have talent. Now, players win games, not coaches. But the coaches got to put them in position to and motivate them to play at the highest level they can play at.
You were a college player at University of Pittsburgh. Then you went into becoming an NFL player, but you went back to your alma mater. What was that transition like coming back to the people who really like gave you that opportunity to go to the pros?
You know what's interesting? To this day, on Father's Day, I get texts from some of my players at Pitt, and coaching NFL guys nowadays, it's all about the agents. You communicate through them. You're dealing with 30, 35-year-old men. And when I went back to Pitt, number one, I got my degree from there. I got 2 degrees from there. And I'm from Pittsburgh. So I felt like, you know, I knew more about the football tradition in the city and the university than anybody. And I really felt, going back to your initial question, that I can make a difference, not just with the football program, but now I'm dealing with 18-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. And I felt good about that. We got the program turned around. We had a lot of guys drafted in the NFL. You know, we had Aaron Donald and Darrell Revis and LeSean McCoy. I mean, these guys are all, you know, Hall of Fame players. And, you know, having a chance to recruit these kids and watch them mature and watch them get better, it's as rewarding as you can possibly get.
So you just named three top tier, like, very good NFL players, and you also played with some famous and legendary players as when you played. From your view on the field, who have been the greatest players you've coached or saw in person?
Well, I think probably Darrell Revis. You know, when he was playing at Pitt, to give you an idea, when he played in his high school championship game, he scored touchdowns on a punt return, an interception, at wide receiver. He scored four different ways. He scored four touchdowns and four different offense, defense, special teams. Mm-hmm. And he was about as talented as any player that I had a chance to coach. And then when he went to the NFL, they with the New York Jets, they named him Revis Island and, you know, all that. So Darrell would probably come to mind. And then obviously Aaron Donald is too simple. I mean, Aaron Donald is a guy that wasn't recruited very hard because he's not that big, but he's quick and he's really fast and athletic. And the guy just understands the game. And so probably Aaron Donald and Darrell Revis.
So I want to know your take on right now what's happening in college football. Because right now, there's NIL deals and all this, like, transfer portal stuff. I want to get your take on how you feel about the whole situation.
Well, you know, they would probably classify me as being a little bit old school because I'm all for giving kids, helping them out with their flights. They got to get there early. They're staying late. Helping them out with some clothes and food and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this NIL, that I don't like it one bit. And then you combine that with this new transfer portal where they can leave tomorrow and go someplace else and get for more money. So, you know, it used to be you went to a college. When I went to Pitt, I could have gone a lot of places coming out of high school. I was very, you know, very, I say this humbly, very highly recruited. And I chose Pitt because I liked the coaches. I liked the academics. I wanted to get a degree from the University of Pittsburgh. And it wasn't until like my junior year that I even thought about maybe the NFL. Where now these kids as high school seniors, all they want to know is how quick am I going to be a number one draft pick? And the education is truly on the back burner, you know, because a lot of these kids, when they transfer, they say, oh, we're going to get a better deal on this NIL stuff, so we're going to transfer. Well, a lot of places won't accept their credits. So they might put in 2 years at a university, and they might have, you know, you get 30 credits a year, just say, they might have 60 credits toward their degree halfway there, and they transfer to a school, and the school says, you got to start over here. So it's really going to hurt these players from a graduation standpoint, in addition, I think, to the football.
So you are a very popular head coach. A lot of people know you for the Chicago Bears. But two head coaches just left the industry, in Nick Saban in college and Bill Belichick as a Patriot. Now, I want to get your take on Bill Belichick. Do you have a reason why he is not signed with the team? Because he is a legendary coach. Why is no one signing him?
Yeah, the rumor out there, the word was that he wanted too much power. I hate that word, but I want to be in charge of this and personnel and weight room and everything. But I talked to Jimmy Johnson this week, and Belichick was down his place in the Keys. And Jimmy said, that's not the case. So whether it was his age or whether it was he just wasn't a good fit for the jobs that were open, I don't know. Because he definitely, from an X and O standpoint, you know, he's as good as there is. He's proven that.
Well, there's been, you know, a lot of coaches, but I finally want to ask you, if you were added to any team today, who would you coach and who would your coaching staff be?
Well, in college, it would be my alma mater. It would be Pitt. I mean, because I've had a lot of chances to go to colleges, but the big thing with college recruiting, it's all about recruiting. And, you know, recruiting is like sales. You have to have a good product and you got to believe in that product. And I know Pitt's a good school and I totally believe in it because it's my school. Where I was interviewed for a couple other jobs and I just couldn't get it in my heart saying, how am I going to sit there and try to convince these kids to come to this place when I'm not excited about it? Mm-hmm. So I would say if I was going to go back, it would be Pitt. And, you know, I had a group of guys that were with me for a long time. I had assistant coaches that were with me I brought them from Dallas and they were with me at Chicago. Then they were with me at Miami. Then they were with me at Pitt. So, you know, putting together a good group of guys. The problem is they're all getting to the age now where they're ready to go to Florida and lay on the beach and retire.
So thank you so much again. I loved having you. You had such good stories to tell. And thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule and talking to me today.
Well, you do a great job, Jonah, and stay after it. And yeah, I'm going to be following you. So you're doing good. I'm just happy to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Coach, for that amazing interview. Well, that does it, folks. Your Little Man, Big Mouth podcast. Check out next episode when it drops. And as a reminder, March Madness is here. So don't forget to sign up for the Little Man, Big Mouth bracket. The winner will be recognized on a future episode. But until then, see ya.
Follow the show on Insta at Little Man Big Mouth. Keep up with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast provider. The Little Man Big Mouth podcast is an exclusive creation of Hefeweizen Podcast Productions.